This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. Join us each week as we interview those who help Tyler Longview residents make their lives better. And as always, you can reach out with your thoughts on the show or any topic you would like us to consider just by going to ktbb.com/infocus and following the prompts. Thank you. I'm very excited this morning. I get to interview the city manager, Ed Broussard. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning.
Got one of my favorite names. I'm a big Pearl Jam fan, so Ed's right up there.
Okay.
When do you move as a male from Eddie to Ed?
You know, thankfully, I was never Eddie. In our family, everybody has a nickname that usually has nothing to do with their actual real name. But
right.
The nickname, my familial nickname, thankfully, was never Eddie.
What do Eds hate so much about Eddie?
I'm not positive. I'm not sure because I never was.
You don't
an
like
Eddie.
It.
Yeah. I was Teddy growing up. My family still knows me as Teddy, but okay. Thankfully, we moved to kind of middle school years. And so I was able to rename myself to Ed or Edward, depending on where, kind of the circumstance. So I was able to kind of shift from that younger type name to something a little bit more masculine.
they labeled me Lonnie. My name's Howard. And, you know, Howard would have been a beating in second grade.
Yes.
But Lonnie is a beating since then. So, but I'll go by Lonnie, you go by Ed.
Yes.
We'll move along with the interview. This week, everything weather related. So I brought you in to kind of help the citizens of Tyler, specifically the city, on how to what to do in response to the storms we've had. By my calculations, in the last 20 days, we've had 5 severe weather events. Is that right? Not as severe as the last two, but significant events.
That's probably about pretty accurate. I mean, it has been a weekly situation of heavy storms that have been swamping our drainage systems and just bringing down trees. But this one that we had that was on Monday evening has been the worst one that we've seen really as far as on record.
Worse than the straight lines from a couple years ago?
Yes, because those really did come through through very specific areas of the city. And while toppled some trees, it did not topple nearly the number that we dealt with this one. And this one was so really as far as just it was much wider, much more severe as far as the impact to the full city.
So I asked this question hilariously. So what the hell did we have a tornado or not?
I
heard the sirens.
Yes.
About 7 o'clock, six, 7.
It was probably between 6 and 7 that evening. What had happened was a state trooper was out towards Lindsay Park area.
Right.
Spotted what appeared to be a funnel cloud. We're not really sure if that was a funnel cloud or just a wall cloud that he was seeing at that port at that time, but called in and stated, hey, there seems to be a tornado that's forming outside of Tyler. It was one that had moved through so fast that even our local news stations that typically kind of pop up and everything.
Yeah, because I was watching Mark. Ready. Skirta, for those of you who don't know him on a one-name basis, I was watching Skirta, and he never, he's the guy for me.
Yes.
And he was like, pay no attention to this tornado warning in the city. There is no tornado. All is good. All is well. And, you know, that was while the siren was going off. So it was confusing to me.
Yes. And so then we actually set them off multiple times that evening because, the first one, based upon the report that we had received from the state trooper. And while uncertain of whether or not that was a tornado, it definitely then quickly moved into tornado-like conditions. I don't think we ever, we've had this a couple of times now of where it's almost like F-zero type tornado. So nothing. You know, that ever actually formed and touched ground that we can find, but the level of winds and damage that were created by the storm event are kind of equal to what you would see then with some of the lighter tornadoes that kind of move through different communities.
I know that you're not a weatherman.
Yes,
but,
thank you.
So yeah. Get real in the weeds on this.
I have nothing to do with science, and so, we're both probably over our skis real quick.
Maybe real quick. I do know when I opened my front door, which was the stupidest thing I did. during that storm. I don't know if it was low pressure or the winds, but it almost pulled me out my front door. Okay, yeah. I mean, the winds were dramatic, but it, we're going with they were straight line winds, correct?
You know, again, I'm not
nobody knows.
It's, yeah, I'm just dealing with the damage.
It's a mess.
I don't. Yeah, it's I'm not the weatherman. I have I take my cues from the National Weather Service. So whatever they said, it happened. We deal with the damage that happens afterwards, or during and afterwards. And so it was incredibly severe that went through that night.
Great segue. What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
What do we do now?
So,
what does everybody in these affected, specific, I think the most effective neighborhoods that I've seen are Green Acres, my neighborhood, which they call Midtown.
Yes.
Now-ish, you know, whatever. But those seem to be the two biggest. The South didn't seem to take too much of the brunt of it. Am I wrong? Or,
you know, there has been, our big thing has been, and it has been kind of widespread throughout the areas you're referencing, probably received more damage than some of those areas, like the southern part. Western part, northern parts of Tyler also received damage. Out of Lake Tyler, where we maintain the roads out there around the lake, received very extensive damage. And so for the city right now on the recovery piece is getting the roadways opened up, getting it to where as far as any kind of threats to safety are removed. We've been able to bring in state resources. We currently have 20 other, as far as, Texas Forestry Service and other related agencies that are operating chainsaws, removing trees and debris throughout our community, as addition to the parks and to the streets and drainage crews that are also operating at removing debris throughout the city. Going into the next week will be kind of the cleanup components on that we then cut down and removed. One of the things we've been talking to citizens about and trying to put out in our messaging, and please, if you haven't gone to our social media, please go to our Facebook or Instagram to kind of follow us there to get
under
up to
the
messaging.
City of Tyler?
Yes.
Okay.
Under the City of Tyler. And that was where you can get some of the latest messaging and information that's available.
Social media has helped these situations, I think. It's the big, great, nasty, but it in a situation like this, I find that, especially with this past storm, it's very helpful.
It is. It's able, and we've been able to use it quite successfully in trying to get information out there for people to know kind of up to the day, up to the minute, you know, every day, multiple messages to let them know just what the different parts are, or what we have to be able to offer, how we consist, what's the status of different projects and programs. I know, as of Thursday afternoon, I'm still without power. I know probably in according to the reports we're getting from Encore, there's a significant amount of people that are still without. I think it's like 3,000 people without power.
It's hit and miss in my neighborhood like everything else. That's what I love about my neighborhood. You have an engineer living next to a guy that inherited the house three generations ago that's never even painted it, next to a doctor. Now, I mean, it's an eclectic neighborhood.
Yes.
So, and it's built at different times. So there's like, for instance, on my street, on the side of my street, I was one of two houses that had power almost 8 hours after the storm.
Oh.
So I think I may be tied in to a hospital grid or something like that. That's a possibility because I live close. But how many, do you have a rough number of how many people are still without power in the city of Tyler, not in Smith County, but the city of Tyler?
In the city of Tyler, there's approximately 7,000 customers as of Thursday afternoon that are still without power. They expect to have power fully restored to everybody in Tyler by Sunday, the end of Sunday. But you can probably see that there's about 1,000 linemen that are operating in Tyler right now.
Thank you to the linemen, by the way, but you're getting lots of thanks anyway. And discounts on coffee, and you deserve it 100%. But let's not forget the city workers that are getting out there and doing the exact, they're not doing the electricity, but they're taking the chances on these fallen limbs. They're clearing the roadways. They're doing things so that we can, get around. And not just because you're here, you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Tyler's done a great job for a bit now on different things, but I've really been impressed. I mean, the staging before the storm was impressive.
Yeah, it's we've kind of felt like those previous storms, like you made mention of, and throughout that we've had throughout the years, I've almost been in dress rehearsals for this action that we just having to take with the storm that came through on Monday night. It is, you know, there are certain areas that now, you know, going in the coming weeks that we're going to have to, our parks pretty much, you know, out of our 33 parks or so, about 21 of them have just devastation throughout, you know, down trees. We're now really starting to get into kind of Rose Redmond Trail and see kind of the extent of damage that's in there. And that's where we started to be spending some of our time in the next few weeks of clearing those out. The streets are our priority, getting people to be able to move around. And then after that, then we'll start moving, like I said, the next few weeks through our parks and trails. So we hope people will be patient with us as, you know, it's summer. People want to get out. They want to enjoy those. But, yeah, we've got to get them safe.
Let's give a word of caution real quick, because I kind of like hiking, floating, and I'm an outdoors guy. Be extremely careful. Look above you, because there are all kinds of, like, what do they call them, dead widowmakers. They call them widowmakers. A widowmaker is a big limb that's fallen, that's remained in the tree. It hasn't come to the ground, but it will.
Yes.
Science tells us. So when you're
gravity
walking,
comes for us all, Lonnie. Yeah. And so, that's exactly right. Of just, there is still, you know, there's, especially for trails, even some of the trails that may be open that we've got, that's, you know, be very
that's
cautious.
That's what I'm getting at. We're driving in the areas where the big affected areas we're talking about in Green Acres neighborhoods and those near like the epicenter of what this hit. There are many examples, obviously by all the trees in the road, there were trees over the road.
Yes.
Anytime that happened, I just, on my way to work this morning, I saw a couple of widowmakers just hanging that it's kind of hard to see. So please heed my warning when it comes to that and watch out for widowmakers. I'm going to give out an encore number real quick just to see if you need it to call about power, 888-313-4747. That's 888-313-4747. It doesn't matter who your provider is. Encore is probably the guys that are going to be out there working on it. So you've got that. Did you want to give any numbers, Ed? Or?
You know, there probably will be a couple as we talk about just kind of tree pickup and debris cleanup in a minute that I'll cover. That's I know for people on their personal side that they're trying to, as they've cleaned out their yards, and depending on the extent of damage or the extent of the stuff that they need to bring forward, are kind of probably asking questions. That's a lot of the stuff we're getting is now what happens now that I've cut up this tree, or now that I have kind of got all the, you know, branches that have fallen in my yard and I've been able to bring them to the curb. What happens to them now?
I want to go there right now. And let's just use, I just told you before the interview, I had a 130-foot water oak 15 feet from my house. I began the process of taking that tree down the Friday before Monday. So the last thing they did Monday was complete topping out that tree. So I now have a 100-foot stump that is not dangerous in the wind. Okay.
Yes.
So my question is, because there are many trees like this in the neighborhood. All these trees are close to 100 feet tall. So when you're putting these things by the curb, or you're hiring contractors to put them on the curb for the city pickup, there are some points where trees are going to have to be moved with cranes because of the size of them. Is the city going to pick up those big sections?
So to kind of help clarify for our residents, what the city is doing is we're removing, you know, we've cut down a lot of trees, cut up a lot of trees that were in the roadway. Encore has cut up a lot of trees that were also, you know, hindering them. And so that debris we have work orders on, and we will come out and pick those up and haul those off. And that'll probably be happening over the next week or so. It's happening today. We have about four different crews that are working on pickup and disposal of the stuff that we've cut up and removed. That's our first
priority. Is what you've done to clear the roads. That's the first thing that's going to happen. We're going to give that a week or two probably, right?
Yeah, get that out of the way. Now, starting next week, though, people can call in for special pickups. And now there's a charge.
What's that number?
That number.
Wait a minute. That's a special. Okay, so is debris removal gratis for the city for this storm, or is it a...
So it's a kind of a thing to make sure, kind of we're talking about for definitions here. So there's debris removal. There's what, you know, the branches that you may have, and your water oak is a great example. So, okay. You know, in my yard, I've got a number of different branches that I'm going to bundle up, and or you can bundle up and kind of put at the curb. And it's less than about 50 pounds.
Yeah, that's garbage guy stuff.
Yeah, they'll pick that up. Right. That's just, but they'll throw that away and take care of that. Now, then there's the people who have bigger branches or kind of
or
parts of trees or the full tree that they're cutting up and they're putting out. And so that one, they'll need to go online to the City of Tyler's Solid Waste website. And you can go to our social media and find those on the cityoftyler.org or on Facebook to kind of for the links to those. And that one, you put in your work order for that one. And then depending on the size, it can be anything from $20 to maybe about $400, $500, depending on the size of that you're having hauled off. And you can kind of get an idea on, or you can go through a private contractor to also bring in to haul off. Those will be much, though, higher prices to be able to get your private contractor in on that.
Okay. The straight line storms, if I remember, did the city not pick up free then?
We did on the branches that were on that one. The difference really between...
When you say branches, we're talking about like
talking the difference between branches and trees
versus a complete tree. Cut-down tree.
Yes, right. And that is the difference we're talking about on this event. Is on the straight line events, you had essentially branches that could easily kind of come in and you can grab a grappler and take those away. But for this event, we're talking whole trees that come down.
Correct.
And so, you know, the thing that we always have to remind our solid waste customers is, you know, people say gratis, free. There is that all gets worked into your bill. So it's either we're charging you for it in your bill later on through rate structures, or we're charging you for that event and for pickup. And so that's
what we're trying to do. So you're trying not to just add long term cost to our overhead for our water bill and all that stuff, which is trash and all that. So this, instead, it would be a one-time fee.
Correct.
That we're just going to have to do.
And for some of them, especially if there's property damage involved, you can talk to work with your insurance company. They may, you know, as with a lot of the stuff that's where the you're having your trees removed because of damage to your property, that, you know, if working with your insurance company to see what they can do to kind of compensate or reimburse you for those costs. But for the city, yeah, it's for each of those cases that, you know, if they will come call in or fill in, put in the work order, then we can be able to kind of create that. You know, get the a work order put in place to be able to go out there, pick it up, and then that'll become part of their utility bill in the future.
And I can also offer a little bit of advice here as it pertains to insurance. I'm a state licensed property adjuster. In addition to doing radio for 20 years, I've been a roofing contractor and a state licensed property adjuster. I would very much consider writing a check for $500 before I made a claim on my insurance, because it's going to be considered claims activity if they do it. And it's just going to make your premiums go up, and your premiums are about to go up anyway in the state of Texas, especially in these areas where we're seeing these storms. So that's the pickup. And I bounced around a little bit, Ed, so I apologize. No. So what?
Now, there also is another option that people have available to them if they have trailers or the access
burn it.
To it. No, in their yard.
No, do not set anything on fire.
Okay. Yeah. Now, if they know out in the county, you know, out in the country, if there's a friend that they're like, hey, come right over, between them and the friend. Right. But no, it's our landfill. And so for $15, if you can haul it off yourself, you pay a $15 entrance fee at the landfill and you can dispose
of
it.
For this storm? Because those are different rates than normal rates for the dump.
Well, this is for our solid waste customers. So if you are a solid waste customer, that's a fee that you can get charged or be charged for that. So yeah, so that is an option as well for removal if you have access to, you know, like I said, the trailer and ability to drive out there and all that.
And the ability to load it.
Yes.
That's the hard ability.
that is the struggle on this one.
So this interview is going really quickly. Some of the ones that I do with the nonprofit, more serious. I mean, this is a serious conversation, obviously, but this one's going very quickly. So I want to make sure I touch on certain things. So however you want to look at it, I don't care how you think politically. I don't care who you think's responsible for it. Our climate is changing. We're getting more and more violent storms per year than we have in the past. So Tyler seems to be in that, like, shifting. When I was in the roofing business, and before 2000, the atmosphere, it would break over Tyler. So Tyler hardly ever got any hail or, you know, big events. Well, since then, in the last 20 years, that's moved to the east, putting Tyler in that hail realm, I guess, that you would have with the Metroplex and all mm-hmm. that. So things change. We live in a neighborhood, we both do, with all these beautiful trees, which is why the hell people move here. Do we need to look at that as a city? Are they, I mean, I know after Hurricane, what was the big one in Louisiana where they, Harvey, Isaac or whoever.
Well, yeah, Isaac was 1900. we're now we're getting into history on, and this is actually, I can do that better than science. But yeah, so
Katrina is the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and then Rita, and yes.
You guys came and you trimmed all the limbs away from the power lines, which was when that really kind of started, and you've continued that activity.
Encore does that, but yes.
Encore does that. Okay. So are there, I mean, it's dangerous living with these big, huge trees. Is the city going to have any thoughts in the future as we go and we have more of these weather events?
Not really. You know, the tree component goes to, so to start off with, yes, we do recognize that the storms have gotten more severe, that we're seeing more water going and flowing through different. And so for our side of the equation, it has been on the drainage side and just improvement and the just millions of dollars that we're going to have to be continuing to spend kind of in the future for on drainage improvements.
And where is now, that? Because I noticed, like, what we're talking about, like, what, let's use Lake Street as an example.
Yes.
Okay. At the top of Lake Street, you know, before you go down to the bottom, there are, because one of my neighbors asked the city about this, and they did some research, and they found out a couple streets north of Lake, there's one, like, culvert, and it's at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know what you guys know about water and gravity, but it's the single worst place. And I was done in the 1920s.
Yeah, that
so
actually used to be a lake.
Kind of weather, right?
Yeah, most people don't understand. No, that Lake Street actually there used to be a lake.
Right, it was called Victory Lake.
Yes, exactly.
That's the name of. I've got a there's a historical picture that's in books around town that has my house. My house was built by a doctor in 1937 that sat on that lake. I think it was like a 5-10 acre lake, something like
yes.
that. But yes, all that was underwater. But now that hill, you know, where that is, that was the top of where you could look down on the lake. Other words, we have substandard drainage in these older neighborhoods.
Yes.
Are you comfortable with that?
That is a very accurate statement.
Okay.
And
what do we do about that?
And so the thing is, you have to make them be able to handle, or I mean, just continue to work on being able to, how do you handle the amount of water that's coming through those drainage areas as well. So you look at it from upstream, downstream, and all areas in between. And so that's, it's a, you know, I don't even want to put amount of years on it. It's a 20-year, it's a lifetime
for sure.
just continual updates. You're seeing some of those projects going on now. You'll continue to see some of those can move on for the future. You know, it is drainage. And the improvement on drainage structures, existing drainage structures, especially like the ones you just referenced, is something that is going to be part of our projects for a long time.
You have a responsibility to protect your home against these waters. Like a French drain system are very effective. I just had to have mine. I now have 600 linear feet of French drains.
Wow.
And they had put like 300 in the 80s. You know, in this home that I live in, and it helps, but it's still the deluge that we've seen the last week overruns anything that you can put in. But anything that you can put in is going to help your cause and save you money.
That is so true. And that's something, you know, there's the city's drainage that where we looked at just essentially, you know, how do you bring that water through Tyler? But there's also just, and it goes also to the severity. We as property owners and, you know, just residents, you have to kind of work on taking care of your own property as well. And what needs to be done. I mean, goodness knows I was out there with a shovel after after the storm came through to make sure that, you know, all the silt that had kind of formed, I live kind of on a hill, and so all the silt that had come down on me of digging a channel to keep that water flowing through my backyard so that it can go where it needs to. And we, so we as a city have a responsibility, and we as, you know, private property owners have a responsibility as well. And it's how we kind of work together on those. We as a city kind of look at the bigger picture and how do you keep that water flowing through Tyler and not have an adverse impact on people's property. And you still, you have that individual responsibility as well.
Let's segue into how we can help. Because one thing I love about Tyler, not only is it philanthropic, I always mention that, but can't wait to help. I read something the other day, don't ride around these neighborhoods snapping pictures and expecting these homeowners to be thrilled with you. If you want to snap a picture, stop and ask them how you can help. For instance, there was a, in the Azalea District, I walked by a house. I walk in that neighborhood. I walked by a house who had had a tree take off the end of their house. And it was an old house like mine. And the person wanted to take it back to its original state because these homes are historic.
Yes.
You know, so when I had a house fire in 2017, I had a couple of windows that we didn't put back in that were exact matches for theirs. So I'm like, hey, if you need a window, you know, and she was very happy. But that's what I want to bring out about Tyler and about these areas. Get out of your house if you haven't been affected. Get out of your house and walk down the street to someone that has and just ask them if they need help. You know, what you can physically do, what you can do to help.
You know, Lonnie, thank you for saying that, because that'll be the piece actually that the city through our social media will be putting out there. Is there's a lot of benevolent organizations, your churches, your different social groups and organizations that are looking to try to help.
A lot of churches in Tyler.
Exactly. And some of them need, some people need help with a chainsaw. Right. Some people need help with actual funding. And so, we want to try to help what we can to match those up, for the people with needs, but yes, please, you know, and that's, this has always been the great, incredible thing about Tyler is, you know, what, help your neighbor, go out there. And, I'm glad you mentioned that part.
Don't just drive around. Look, I mean, I understand it's a curiosity. You want to see, this is not something that happens every day and it's been devastating. I understand the curiosity. But just imagine how you would feel, like you're in a fishbowl, people going around, you don't have water, you don't have electricity, you don't have anything. It's hot, it's humid, it's miserable, you have pets, all these stresses. And then you got these looky-loos pulling up and blowing out their iPhones.
Yeah, I don't know if I ran into your wife or whatever, but yeah, that's somebody, with the amount of tourists we have running through our neighborhoods, that, and yeah, the person, I was out walking my dog one night, and yeah, the lady I ran into, or as while I was out there walking, was, she was so frustrated with the amount of looky-loos that she referenced them as well. And so that, the fact that, yeah, y'all use that same term. I don't know.
Yeah, go look. Just offer to help. Take 20 minutes and ask somebody what they need.
Ask for help. Or better yet, stay out of impacted neighborhoods as well. Just because right now there's so much, especially with the crews that are there helping them, because I know, you know, many of the neighborhoods we've referenced and even more have, you know, just crews that have come in to help them both removing trees, get them off of houses, get their houses, you know, as far as at least to a point of where they can be in there, while then the remodeling starts to occur, the amount of linemen in a lot of these neighborhoods. If it's not your neighborhood, it's probably, or you don't have to go to those neighborhoods, stay out of them right now, probably for the next few weeks, just because of the amount of crews that are there doing the work, and those streets don't need additional traffic.
That's fantastic. So we've got about a minute left. So anything you want to get out, I've given the Encore number. I'll do it again, 888-313-4747. Ed says that anything on social media, you go to Facebook, City of Tyler. There's information there. Anything else?
You know, one of the things that is helpful for us as well as hopefully helpful for the property owner, and it's referenced in our press releases as well as over on our Facebook site, is iStat. And that's something the Texas Department of Emergency Management has, that you as a property owner, for damages that you have, you can record, take the pictures, put that on that information, and then they're able to start looking at how to possibly they could help you with FEMA reimbursements or other things down the line if that becomes available to Tyler and to Smith County. So don't miss up that opportunity to fill out those forms and get that submitted.
Ed Broussard, City Manager of Tyler, Texas, thank you very much for coming in. I appreciate everything the city's doing for helping us. Godspeed, good luck.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, Lonnie.
You're very welcome. Just a quick addendum to the show this week. I wanted to take a second after the show and just say thank you to all the linemen, all the support crew, everyone that's been so essential in getting Tyler and East Texas back up. Without them, can you imagine where we would be? We would still have no electricity. You can't think anybody too much in today's world. So here's the number one more time for Encore, 888-313-4747. You guys be safe out there.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.